So good morning, everyone. Are you okay with an hour less sleep? Yeah, still okay? Yeah, after that greeting, we are a bit more okay, I think. So if I wish to ask you, what is Roman Road? Roman Road. Did you ever heard of Roman Road before? What is the first thing that jumped to your mind? How about all roads lead to Rome? Do you ever heard that before? All right. Yeah, really. Because Roman Empire, they developed so good a road system that no matter what route you take, you'll go to Rome. But anything else besides that? Roman Road. Because I asked Pastor Stan that he said somebody learned about a personal evangelistic method called Roman Road. Did anybody learn that? Only one? He said more than one. Okay. No, not from him. So, okay, later on, if I have chance, I will share that with you. In fact, it's a very good method to share gospel with another person. So you will just hold the Bible, you read the verses from the Bible. So the good thing is you don't have to memorize the verses. And then when you go through the verses, you can present the gospel to the person that you are talking to. So later on, I'll find out why Roman Road can be used like that. So in fact, the book of Romans is a very logical presentation that Paul did for the doctrine of salvation. That's why Roman Road can be used in that way. So this morning, we are going just to concentrate on the first verse, only the first verse. So where's the PowerPoint? Should I turn it on? Yeah, we are going to concentrate. Does it come out? Okay. So the first verse is, usually we don't pay attention to the first verse of the things, but today we are going to study here and see what Paul will teach us about our identity now. So the text is Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. So the first thing that we learned is Paul identified himself as a servant and slave. So what is the difference between servant and slave? So you may think that, okay, a servant looks like more higher classes doing things better, and a servant may be more doing those labor jobs. So that's why some versions, they translate it as bond servant. So in order to get the meaning of both. So when we think about servant, we will think about who? Jesus. Jesus Christ said he came here to serve and not be served, right? And he also demonstrated himself by washing the apostles' feet. So basically, the meaning of servant is, okay, somebody working for his or her master. But in the Old Testament, there are many persons that address themselves as servants, like Moses, David, King David, and other prophets. They address themselves as servants. The reason is because they want to express their humbleness and respect to God. They address themselves as servants. So at the time of New Testament, when Paul wrote this letter, there are lots of slaves in Roman Empire, lots of slaves in the Roman Empire. So you know, what is a slave to the master? A slave is only a furniture that can speak. See, it's only a furniture that can speak. They can be disposed anytime. You can just get rid of it anytime. So that's the slave to his or her master. So we know that Paul was not physically a slave to Jesus Christ, right? So he used this word in a figurative way. That means to Paul, Jesus Christ was his master, his master. He was like a slave to his master. Remember last week, it's already out here. Pastor Stan shared with us the meaning of gospel is, I was accepted by God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, I obeyed. You still have that memory? Still there, right? It is still there. So, why we are not accepted by God? Why we are not accepted by God? Because we are all sinners. We are all sinners. We cannot be as perfect as our perfect Heavenly Father. Remember, Pastor Stan said, the most scary thing is we are under the wrath of God. God will punish us for our sins and we will all perish, right? That means we are slave to sin. We are slave to sin. We are all under the bondage of sin. Because Jesus Christ paid for our punishment, he redeemed us like a master who bought a slave from the market. He redeemed us so that we can be accepted by God through Jesus Christ. And God will say, you are claimed righteous. It's not we can do anything to be righteous. So that means, in fact, every Christian is a slave servant to our Lord. So, however, we have to understand when Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, he wrote this letter about 30 years after the death of Jesus Christ. So Paul was under the attack from several aspects. First, the Roman government was executing Christians because the emperor could not stand the expansion of a religious group with a Jewish king. And second, the Jewish religious leaders, they rejected Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah. So they want to get rid of Christian churches. And number three, there are false teachers in the churches at that time. Remember, the Christian doctrine was not fully developed at that time. So Paul was under all these kinds of attacks. But Paul's reaction, remember how Paul reacted when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus? What did Paul say? Paul said, Lord, who are you? Jesus Christ was Lord to Paul at that time onwards without any change. So, brothers and sisters, have you been a Christian for 1 year, 5 years, 10 years? And I know some of you are over 10 years. Do you remember how you answered the question at the time of baptism? You believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. You believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and your Lord. Does it change through the years? So you can be an elder of the board now, or a chairperson leading the Sunday worship, or even just a person preparing the snacks after our worship time. Remember, there are no big or small service in churches. God knows our motives, the motives in our heart. So no matter what you serve at church, you are a slave, a servant to Jesus Christ. Out of our gratitude to God, because Jesus paid the redemption, paid for the punishment of my sin. But remember, we don't restrict our servanthood to church only. Your servanthood can be put in everyday life. We have to live what we believe. Jesus Christ is your master. Practice what he teaches you. So we hold on God's word. Do not compromise. Do not compromise. There is only one absolute truth. There's only one absolute truth. So that is your first identity. You are a servant and slave of Jesus Christ. So Paul moves on to identify himself as an apostle. So in the letter of Romans, Paul started with a humble identity as a servant, and then he continued like a sharp change from servant to the office of apostle. So what is an apostle? So the literal meaning is one who sent forth, one who sent forth. But, however, we remember what Jesus speaking at that time. Jesus was not speaking Greek. Jesus was speaking Aramaic. So the meaning of that word could have one more meaning. It's like a delegate or representative of the person who sent him. A delegate or representative of the person who sent him. So according to this meaning, the 12 apostles were sent the first time by Jesus two by two out to preach the gospel of kingdom. And then, at the ascension of Jesus Christ, the 12 apostles were given the universal ministry to preach the gospel to the end of the world. Let us look at two texts. I put it here. It's Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Can you see the words? Well, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. So how come the word of apostle there? So as we mentioned just before, that word means the one sent forth. Jesus Christ was the one sent by the Father. Jesus Christ was sent by the Father. So you know, God himself designed Jesus to be sent. In other words, God the Father designed the mission, and God the Son completed the mission. God the Father designed the mission. God the Son completed the mission. So this is to show what? To show that God is the designer of gospel. God did it all. We did nothing. We did nothing. So we have to understand this. God is the designer of gospel. And the second thing is, Paul made his claim as an apostle because he met Jesus on the road to Damascus and also his missionary works. So, in fact, in the Bible, apostles and disciples, they are like interchangeable. Sometimes they use this word, sometimes they use the other word. So, disciple means like a pupil, a student, or learner, right? So at the time of the New Testament, so when a person agrees with the teaching of a teacher, he would follow the teacher and practice what he learned from the teacher. So like a mentor, following like a mentor. Therefore, John the Baptist got disciples, right? The Pharisees, they had disciples. Jesus Christ had disciples. So, apostles were disciples, but there are 12 specially chosen. They are called apostles. So, is there any relationship between disciples and Christian? So, we have to, I hope we all know this word. Look, I jump one. Does it show up? No. Okay. If you have the Bible, could you please turn to the book of Acts? I think we should all know this. Chapter 11, verse 26. So if somebody asks you, where does the word Christians come out? So the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, Acts chapter 11, verse 26. So we better remember these words, so next time when somebody asks you, how are Christians called Christians? So pay attention to the word were called. The disciples did not call themselves Christians. Most likely, it was the people in Antioch that called the disciples this name. So, in fact, it should be the next one then. We see that suffix I-A-N-S, the slaves were called at that time. The slaves were called by. We put in the name of the master, and then I-E-N-S. Okay, so it is very clear that, what is Christians? Christian is Christ, I-A-N-S. So the same thing as what you just mentioned, we are slave. We are slave and servant to Jesus Christ. So do you remember there was one guest speaker called David Freeman? Yeah, David Freeman came here several weeks before and he told us are there any difference between disciples and Christians? No, right? He said disciples and Christians are the same. Disciples and Christians are the same. So, are you a disciple? Of course, yes, you are a disciple. Then, you are a learner, learning from our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a lifelong process which does not stop. You cannot just learn on Sundays. You have to prioritize your time to study God's word. So in the olden days, when I was young, okay, when we come across the Bible and then we find a word that we don't know, So I remember one pastor told me that, oh, you have to go through the whole Bible, find all the those words, and then you find out the meaning. So at that time, you know, that was called Bible concordance. So you know what is Bible concordance. You know how thick was that? Oh, it's that thick, that book. The letters are so small. But nowadays, what can we do? You have your smartphone. There's a guy here. Tablet, laptop, you just enter the word, you press search, everything is out, right? Everything is out. So you cannot have the excuse, I don't know how to study the Bible. No. You do something you don't know, you put in the word search, you have all the information, and then you try your effort first. Before you go to dictionaries, commentaries, okay? You do your own effort, and then you check with those. And remember also that we have to be with brothers and sisters to study the Bible. It was through this interaction that we can have support for each other. We can learn more from what he or she understands. So make full use of your resources as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Disciple means Christians. Christians are slaves, right? All related together. So the third point is, as a servant, slave of Jesus Christ, Paul was being set apart. He was set apart for the gospel of God. I don't know in your daily lives, all of us are in different positions in our daily lives. Maybe in your working place, or you are studying, or you are staying home. Do you feel you are set apart from non-believers? Do you feel that? Yes, of course you are. So Paul was set apart for a special purpose. The purpose was what? For the gospel of God. For the gospel of God. Remember, we have just mentioned, who is the designer? God the Father designed the mission, and God the Son completed the mission. So for Paul at that time, gospel was no more restricted to the Jews. It's no more restricted to the Jews. It is preached to the Gentiles, to the Gentiles. So in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 2, so Paul and Barnabas were separated for the special mission to preach to the Gentiles because the original chosen people, the Israelites, rejected Jesus Christ as Messiah. So the gospel is no more restricted to the Jews, but to the Gentiles all over the world. So Paul and Barnabas were set apart for that. So in fact, we all know church does not mean a building, right? Church is not a building. Church is a group of believers called out by God. Church is a group of believers called out by God. We are living in this world. You and I are being set apart. We do not belong to this world. So if you are working, if you came across instances that your coworkers will contribute money to buy lottery tickets, right? Did they? Do you ever have that experience? Yeah, I have. Have you joined them? So, at my workplace, I knew people who claimed to be Christians. They joined in contributed money. So they did it every week. But I expressed my value system. I treasure not the things on the earth, but what is in heaven. And I am contented with God, what God has given me. So my value system is in heaven, and I'm contented with God, what God has given me. I did not join them. I did not join them. So if you ask, am I being set apart? Oh, yes, I am. They don't ask me anymore. Do I feel uncomfortable? No. Because I hold on God's word, right? I hold on God's word. Of course, there are many other issues that you cannot compromise. You cannot compromise. Do not feel uncomfortable if you are separated from people at your workplace, in your school, or in your neighborhood. Remember, we are set apart for a special purpose, for the gospel of God, for the gospel of God. So let me close with a serious growing issue that affects us nowadays. Identity theft. Identity theft. So you know what's that, right? You have to take extra care of your personal information so that people cannot steal and use it. Like, you do not release your social insurance number. Be careful with your credit card information. Protect your PIN of your debit card. Because people can steal money if they got your ID. They can perform criminal offenses, or even the worst is terrorist attack. So if your name got related to that, well, you will have hard time to go to fly on the plane. But nobody can change your identity in God. So Paul, in the beginning of the letter of Romans, identified himself as a servant, an apostle being set apart for the gospel. All this applies to all of us. We are slave and servant to God. You are not an apostle, but you are a disciple. And you are set apart for the gospel of God. So, here are some practical ways that we can do. You live in this world, but you do not belong to this world. So have the heart to serve as a servant in everyday life. So remember, your small matters count because non-believers keep an eye on how you live in everyday life more than what you behave at church. See, non-believers keep an eye on how we believe in everyday life more than what we behave at church. So in order to live what we believe, you need to study the Bible. You understand the principles that can be applied to everyday life. You have to understand the principles. You need to pray, but be sensitive to the two-way communication. You pray to God and be sensitive to how God connects with you. We have to talk to God. We have to be sensitive to how God connects with you. We know that all over the world, Christians are becoming minorities. Christians are becoming minorities. In this country, we know that there are many restrictions to preach our belief in public. But do not be discouraged. You have to make the effort not to compromise what you believe in a wise way. You can do it. We are being set apart for the gospel of God. You and I are set apart for the gospel of God. So let us close with prayer. I will have a time of reflection, and then I will close with prayer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we have a secure and everlasting identity in you. Please use each of us as your slave, servant, and disciple at this particular time and place to share your gospel with people who don't know you, and they will perish under your wrath. Help us to live what we believe, and help us to continue to study your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's continue to worship God through tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings is a Christian way of responding to God's provision, and also to offer thanks to Him. And if you are a visitor today, please do not feel obliged to give. Yeah, ask the usher to come forward.